بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our eighth session from Arabic Lessons in Tawheed, Al-Mustawa Thalith, Level 3, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And the lesson that we started last week is Ad-Darsu Ar-Rabi'u, the fourth lesson, which is entitled At-Tawheedu Aqidatuna. At-Tawheedu Aqidatuna. And last week we read page 17, and we read page 18, and we read most of page 19. And we stopped at the bottom of page 19, and that's what we want to pick up today. And after we read it and take our time and make sure everything is clear, inshallah we'll read the explanation of al-lugha, yani iman and yunafi, those words that they gave us. And then we will go back and review the lesson. And then next week, inshallah, for homework, you can write out the answers to the questions. Six questions or whatever amount of questions there were. How many questions are there? Five, six questions, yeah. Okay, so we're on page 19, bottom of the page, Muhammad. Huh? Muhammad. Muhammad says, okay, keep in mind, right, that, I mean, we already discussed a lot of stuff, right, in this lesson, most of it. Yani the definition of Tawheed linguistically and in the Sharh. And also we talked about Rububiyyah and Uluhiyyah and Asma wa Sifat, each of them, their meanings. Allahu musta'an. After that, we talked, yani the last thing that we covered, the last thing that we were dealing with, I'm just going to read quickly from the top of page 19, yani the second line, the teacher says, and now al-thalith min alwa al-tawheed, huwa tawheed al-asma wa sifat. And this was the last topic that we dealt with last week. And I just want to emphasize the point that he makes here, which is critical point, core of this lesson, yani the tawheed al-asma wa sifat huwa al-iman wal-iqrar bi-anna Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fardun bil-asma'i wa-sifati allati la yushabbihuhu fiha ahadun wa hadha al-iman wal-tasdiq innama yutimmu bi-ithbat ma athbatahu Allah ta'ala li-nafsihi أو أثبته له رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جميع الأسماء والصفات ومعانيها وأحكامها الواردة في الكتاب والسنة من غير نفي لشيء منها ولا تعطيل ولا تحريف ولا تمثيل. And the reason why I want to go back to this is because we're going to talk today about what is تعطيل والتحريف والتمثيل. Okay? And then he said further, ومقابل كل هذا يعني in addition to this or in يعني I don't know or the opposite of this مقابل كل هذا يعني the إثبات of whatever Allah has affirmed for himself يجب علينا نفي كل ما نفاه الله تعالى عن نفسه أو نفاه عنه رسوله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم من نقص أو عيب أو كل ما ينافي كماله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني these two points I just wanted to emphasize from last week, that iman, yani having iman in the tawheed of asma wa sifat requires affirmation and it requires negation. Yani affirming whatever Allah has affirmed for himself or whatever the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for him, and negating whatever Allah has negated for himself or whatever the Prophet ﷺ has negated. And this affirmation has to be without yani ta'atil or tahreef and so on, like this tamthil. That yani this is very important. We're going to talk about this in detail now. Okay, so at the bottom of the page, this is where we left off. Muhammad says, "Ma ma'na at-tamthil, wa ma ma'na at-tahrif, wa at-ta'til." Okay, this is in light of what? That the ithbat has to be without negating any of these things. Yani affirming it without negating any of it, and without ta'til. So, what is ta'til? And without tahrif, what is ta'rif? And without tamthil. So what is tamthil? That's the point. Yani the teacher is saying to them that you have to affirm without falling into these things. So the student wants to know, so what is tamthil? And what is tahrif? And what is ta'atil? Okay, so the first of them, the teacher mentions at-tamthil. Ya'ani at-tashbih bayna al-shay'ain. I want to stop here and say, at-tashbih is one way of defining at-tamthil. However, we should know that at-tamthil and at-tashbih are not exactly the same. But they're close. So that's why sometimes they're used interchangeably. And that's why they're defining here tamthil with tashbih. Because they are used interchangeably. But they are not exactly the same. At-tamthil means that two things are the equal and the same in every aspect. Whereas tashbih means that they are equal or the same in most of their characteristics or in most aspects. Okay? So the difference between tamthil and tashbih is tamthil, yani when you do tamthil, it means that these two things are exactly the same in every aspect. But when you say tashbih, means it resembles it in most of its characteristics. Okay? In most of its characteristics. So there's actually a difference between tamthil and tashbih. But otherwise, they're used interchangeably. So no harm if you say tamthil or you say tashbih. Generally speaking, you can use either word. Okay?
Tamthil in some
case. Huh? Tamthil means they are the same. In every aspect. In every aspect. And tashbih means that they are the same or equal in most aspects, in most of its characteristics. Okay, so here the first question, what is tamthil? Tamthil, ya'ani at-tashbih bayna shay'ain. Ya'ani, making a comparison between two things. Okay, making a comparison between two things means that you are comparing this to that because they are close. But tamthil means using something as an example, which is exactly the same as the thing that you want to represent. This is an example of what I'm talking about here. It means that they are the same in every aspect. This example is the same as the thing that I'm talking about in every aspect. Okay? So when you give an example, that's really tamthil. But if you just make a comparison without an example, just a general comparison, like, I don't know if it came in here. As we read, I'll see. But in case it didn't come in here, an example, for example, you might say, its length is like its width. There's no example here. It's just a comparison. Comparing the length to the width. That's a comparison. But when you say, his hand is like my hand. Now you're giving an example of something, of a hand. Okay, and that hand should be the same as the other hand. And that's why Allah has hands, right?
Yeah.
But they are not like the hands of any created being. So that rejects that example. Okay? Okay, in any case, the point is here that these two terms are generally used interchangeably, but they're not exactly the same. That's really what I wanted to make a point of. So sometimes you might see them, and some scholars might be more specific in using tamthil, yani only in the case where there's a particular specific example given to show how something is. An example is given. In another case, no example is given. It's just, yani, a resemblance that is made. At-tamthil, yani at-tashbih, bayn al-shayin. Yani, a comparison between two things. Wa la yajuz hadha. Yani, la yajuz hadha. To make a comparison between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics and the characteristics of anything in the creation. La yajuz hadha. أن يكون بين الله وبين من سواه بين الله وبين من سواه يعني it's not permissible to make a comparison between Allah and anyone or anything in the creation besides Him لأن الله لا يشبهه أحد من خلقه because there's no one from His creation that resembles Him there's no one لا يشبهه أحد من خلقه بل له صفة الكمال سبحانه وتعالى rather he has the description of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Allah is described with perfection. Nothing in the creation can be described with perfection. So there can't be any comparison between Allah, whose characteristics are perfect, and the characteristics of the created beings. Whether it is their seeing, or their hearing, or their knowledge, or their power, or whatever it may be. Allah's seeing is perfect. The creatures, the created beings, and which animal has the best eyesight? Hawk? Eagle? Whatever. They might have good eyesight. They can see something small from very far, but it's not perfect. If they just go a little bit further, they won't be able to see anything. But Allah, He can see everything. All the time. Under every situation. Dark, daytime, whatever. It doesn't matter. Right? So there's no comparison. There's no comparison between Allah's characteristics, which are perfect, and the characteristics of any created being. Because none of the characteristics of created beings are perfect. And that's why he says here what? That it's not permissible. There's nothing in the creation that's comparable to him. بَلْ لَهُ صِفَةُ الْكَمَالِ Rather, Allah alone has the characteristic of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does subhanahu wa ta'ala mean?
Subhanahu means
free from all imperfection. Naam, subhanahu means at-tasbih. At-tasbih means to declare Allah to be free from any imperfection, any shortcoming, any defect, or whatever they have ascribed to Him. Yani, of the creation, from the creation. Yani, Allah is free from all of that. Yani, that's the meaning of subhanahu. Wa ta'ala means that Allah is, yani, the Most High. Al-Ali, Al-Ala. Naam.
Talking about comparison
of
example, in the ayah Allah rules samawat wal ard. How we understand?
How do we understand what?
In the ayah said Allah
rules samawat. Yani meaning Allah, He is an-nur, right? Allah is an-nur. Yani the real light in the heavens and the earth is Allah. Allah is the nur of samawat wal ard. Yani that is literal. No, Allah is the Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. That's one of the, yani according to some of the scholars, it's one of the names of Allah, who are Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. Yani, there's a lot of difference of opinion about which descriptions in the Quran are names and which are descriptions. So there's some difference of opinion about yani compound words. Are they names of Allah? And some scholars say that they are. And some scholars say that they are not. So there's some difference of opinion about it. But in any case, generally speaking, it's from the names of Allah. That He is Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard. Some scholars say and Nur is from the names of Allah. But it didn't come Nur by itself. It came yani in Idhafa. Nur al-Samawati wal-Ard.
So
in any case.
As the same, we cannot compare the kind of Allah with our end. The same, we cannot compare that to
him. With other light. With other light. And there's light, right? But there's Allah. That's different.
But in the same ayah, Allah gives the example of
the mathalu nurihi. Naam. Yeah, but also, we know that the Quran also mentions, right, that laysa kamithlihi shay'un. And we know that lahu al-mathal al-a'la. So even if there is a mathal, but we have to keep the principle in mind. Lahu al-mathal al-a'la means al-wasf al-a'la. So whenever there is a mathal, the description of Allah, the mathal here means the wasf. Yani lahu al-mathal al-a'la means lahu al-wasf al-a'la. That's the meaning of al-mathal here. So the mathal means the description. So whenever there is a mathal that's used, we have to keep this principle in mind, that nonetheless Allah's, and it's just an example to bring something close to the human comprehension, but Allah's description is the Most High, not like the, what came in the mathal. And the mathal is yani to give the human being the possibility of comprehending something, but with that we have to say walahu al-mathal al-a'la, yani that Allah's description is the Most High, whereas anything else that came as an example is yani on the human level, yani of creation. Okay, anyway, that's yani requires some further discussion, but for now yani this is the point, is that if any example is given, the scholars, if they gave any example, they will always say, and if they gave an example to help people to understand something about Allah, they will always say, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ عَلَى الْمَثَلُ الْعَلَى, to remind us that this is only an example, but in reality, Allah's description is the Most High, because Allah, لَهُ صِفَةُ الْكَمَالِ. So anything in the creation, it's not perfect, but Allah, His description is perfect. So even the example doesn't really mean that that thing is like Allah, because Allah, His description is Al-A'la, Al-Kamal. طيب, Al-Mathal, Al-Tamthil. Al-Tamthil means making a comparison or giving an example of something, yani, with the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an example of something in the creation, or a comparison with something in the creation. So confirming for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever He has confirmed for Himself and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has confirmed for Him has to be without making tamthil, without making examples, trying to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's characteristics or qualities with an example of something in the creation. It has to be without this. Yani, don't make a comparison with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or an example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second matter, it is التحريف. أما التحريف, يعني the student asks, what is تحريف? فهو التغيير. وهذا معنى حرف يحرف, أي غير يغير. كقولك حرف الولد الصحيفة, أي غير ما فيها, يعني ما في الصحيفة من كتابة. Let's stop here. التحريف, the meaning is التغيير. What do we mean by تحريف? يعني تحريف means to distort something. The meaning is تغيير, to change it from its original form or state or condition, to change it, to twist it into something else. التغيير means to distort it. And this is the meaning of harrafa yuharrifu. Yani, tahrif is the masdar from the verb harrafa yuharrifu. What is meant by it is ghayyara yughayyiru. Like the saying, harrafa al-waladu al-sahifa. Yani, the child harrafa al-sahifa. Yani, the page, like a page in a notebook, he harrafa al-sahifa, ay غير ما فيها من كتابة. He changed what is on the paper, what was written on the paper. He changed it. Huh? He changed it from what was written there to something else. Changed the word, changed the letter, changed the whole sentence. حرفه, غيره. Or, like, يعني أو قولك حرف اليهود التوراة فَاسْتَحَقُّوا غَضَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. يعني the Jews changed, distorted the Torah, and therefore as a result they are deserving of the wrath or the anger of Allah upon them. المغضوب عليهم. نعم. Okay, so the point here is what? Yani, linguistically, التحريف means تغيير. Yani, تحريف is from the verb حرف يحرف. Its meaning is غير يغير. تغيير. To change something, to distort it. في الاصطلاح, what do we mean اصطلاح? What do we mean by اصطلاح? Huh? Science. Yeah, terminology, that's better. Yani, istilah means the technical term. Yani, the linguistic meaning of tahrif is taghyir. But the technical meaning, in the technical sense, meaning, yani, istilah means every science has an istilah, technical terminology. Medicine has its medical terminology. Engineering has engineering terminology. Huh? So each science has its own terminology. That's called yani istilah, yani the mustalah of any particular science. So in terms of the sharia, yani tahrif has a technical meaning. The technical, in the technical terminology, yani tahrif has a meaning, a specific meaning. So the technical meaning of tahrif huwa tafsir النصوص بالمعاني الباطلة التي لا تدل عليها. يعني الاصطلاح, in the technical terminology, تحريف, it means تفسير النصوص, يعني explaining the textual sources بالمعاني الباطلة, with false meanings, التي لا تدل عليها, which they, the nusus, لا تدل عليها, do not point to. يعني you have a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah, and then they explain that text with a false meaning that the text does not point to. لا تدل عليها. معاني الباطلة التي لا تدل, يعني لا تدل النصوص على هذه المعاني. فينحرف المعنى. And therefore the meaning, after they explained it with false meanings, therefore the meaning became distorted. That's the meaning of tahrif in istilah. Okay? Yani technically it means to change something, but here under this subject, what we intend by it is that they have taken an ayah or they've taken a hadith and they gave it a false explanation that is not indicated by the text itself. Therefore the meaning of the text became distorted. وَمِثَالُ هَذَا التَّحْرِيفِ قَوْلُهُمْ إِسْتَوْلَى فِي كَلِمَةٍ إِسْتَوَى عند قول الله تعالى الرحمن على العرش استوى. الآية الخامسة من سورة طه. Stop there. An example of tahrif is their saying, the people of deviation, istawla. They gave this meaning, this false meaning, to a text that doesn't indicate this meaning. As the saying of Allah the Most High, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. So this is the text. They distorted the meaning. They ghayra al-meaning. They get the ghayra, yani harrafa the meaning, by giving it a meaning that's not indicated by the text. So they said istawa, it means istawla. Istawla means to overcome, to conquer, to defeat. Huh? So they said here istawa, it means istawla. They gave it some false meaning that's not indicated by the text. So they said what? Inna sawab, that which is correct, and nafhama kalimata استوى على حقيقتها استواء يليق بعظمة الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا يشبه استواء المخلوقين. And the correct meaning is that we understand this word استوى according to its real meaning, its actual meaning. But an istiwa, a rising or ascending above, yaliku bi azamatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is befitting of the greatness, the magnificence or the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wala yushbihu istiwa al-makhluqeen, which does not resemble the rising of the created beings. And in other words, yani instead of giving it another meaning, we understand it as it really means. Istawa means to rise up, to ascend, to go above something. But a rising that is befitting of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a rising that resembles the rising or ascending of created beings. Okay, this is what they have given concerning yani, the expression tahrif. But we want to just add here that tahrif is of two types. There's tahrif, yani where a person distorts the meaning, the actual meaning, by giving it a false meaning that's not indicated by the text. And then there's also tahrif, where the actual literal love, the wording itself is changed. And the most important example, most famous example that the scholars gave of this, which you probably heard before, and it's not mentioned here, it should be mentioned here, and that is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, يعني the love of the Jalala is the fa'il. The one who did the speaking is Allah. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ, يعني fa'il, marfu'un. Musa is the maf'ulun bi. Takliman is? Huh? Maf'ulun mutlaq. They changed it. كَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى. What's the meaning they gave? Musa is the fa'il. He spoke to Allah. They just changed the vowel. كَلَّمَ اللَّهَ. People of deviation who deny that Allah speaks. They don't affirm Allah's speaking. So they changed it. Huh? They gave it like that. That's how they explained it. That's how they read it like that. So the meaning will be different. So the meaning will be different. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, but yani, in other places in the Quran, they will find some difficulty making this kind of change because the text is not easily modified in other places, as where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِقَاتِنَا كَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. How did they change that one? Naam. In any case, the point is that this is the second type of tahrif, that is actually changing the expression. This is how the Yahud and the Nasara, they change the words in their books. Whereas mostly, the people of deviation from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, they change the meanings. They reinterpret it. They reinterpret it. They gave ta'wil that's false, yani which amounts to tahrif. So ta'wil, yani there's an acceptable ta'wil and there's false ta'wil. The false ta'wil is this, yani that you give an explanation of something that's not founded in the text. So that came here under tahrif. Okay, as far as at-ta'til, what is the meaning of ta'til? فَمَعْنَاهُ لُغَةً التفريغ. يعني فرغ يفرغ. تفريغ means to empty something, to vacate it, to void it, to make it inoperative. تفريغ. تعطيل, here the meaning linguistically is تفريغ, to empty it of its meaning. As in عطل الدار أخلاها. يعني عطل الدار يعني أخلاها. He vacated, evacuated, yani removed everyone from it. Atla dara akhlaha. Yani atla akhla, same meaning. Wa bi'run mu'attalatun. And a well that is mu'attala, it means what? A well that is inoperative, that is not being used, has been abandoned. An abandoned well. La yusqa minha. يعني you don't take water from it, drink from it. وَلَا يُنْتَفِعُ بِمَائِهَا, nor do you benefit from its water. أَمَّا التَّعْتِيل. You see تَعْتِيل? أَمَّا التَّعْتِيل. فَمَانَاهُ لُغَةً تَفْرِيغ. يعني as in عَتَّلَ الدَّارَ أَخْلَاهَا. عَتَّلَ الدَّارَ means to empty, to evacuate the house. يعني أَخْلَاهَا, same meaning. Or, and بِعْرٌ مُعَطَّلَةٌ. Yani a well that is مُعَطَّلَة means it's abandoned. It's not in use anymore. Okay? لَا يُسْقَى مِنْهَا. Yani nobody is taking water from it. وَلَا يُنْتَفِعُ بِمَائِهَا. Nobody is benefiting from its water. It's abandoned. It's مُعَطَّلَة. It's abandoned. It's vacated. This is the linguistic meaning. يعني the linguistic meaning of تعطيل is تفريغ. اصطلاحا ومعنى تعطيل في الاصطلاح, يعني the meaning of تعطيل in the technical terminology, it means نفي للمعنى الحق. يعني negation of the true meaning. المعنى الحق. نفي للمعنى الحق. Negating the true meaning. الَّذِي دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ, that is pointed to by the book and the sunnah. Yani there's a meaning, a correct true meaning that is indicated in the Quran and the sunnah, and then what they have done? They have negated that true meaning. وَهَذَا يُؤَدِّي إِلَىٰ عَدَمْ إِثْبَاتِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَنَفْيِهَا عَنْهُ. And this negating the true meaning leads to عَدَمْ إِثْبَاتِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ, leads to one not confirming the characteristics of Allah the Most High, which have come in the book and the sunnah, and negating them from him. Yani, this negating the true meaning, it leads to not affirming those sifat which came in the book and sunnah, and it also leads to negating them from Allah. Not affirming them and negating them. Both, you didn't affirm them, rather you went more than that, you negated them. This is when you did what? When you negate the true meaning. The true meaning. So you can see that يعني تحريف is related to تعطيل. All of it is the non-affirmation of the sifat that Allah has affirmed for himself, or the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for him. تحريف by changing the meaning, تعطيل by negating the meaning. Meaning emptying that expression or that text of its true meaning. فَالْمُعَطِّلَةُ قَالُوا. So the people of Ta'atil, the Mu'attila, they said, this is their argument. إِنَّ إِثْبَاتَ الْمَعْنَى لِلصِّفَاتِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى يُوجِبُ التَّشْبِيحَ بَيْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَالْمَخْلُوقِينَ. Yani they said that indeed the affirmation of the meaning for the sifat of Allah the Most High necessitates making a comparison between the Creator and the created beings. Yani if you affirm the meaning of these sifat, in other words they're saying, we affirm the expression but not the meaning. And we just say Allah said this, okay, we affirm it, He did say it. But as far as the meaning, we can't affirm the meaning of it, because if we affirm the meaning of that expression, this will necessitate making a comparison between Allah and the created beings. The sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. Because the meaning will be the same. That's their false argument. Yani, if you affirm this expression, the meaning for Allah has to be the same as the meaning for the created being. I mean, that is a false argument, clearly. But in any case, that's the argument they make. They're saying, we can't affirm the meaning, so we empty the meanings. That's the meaning of ta'atil. تفريغ, emptying it of its true meaning in order to avoid making tashbih between the khaliq and the makhluq. They empty it of meaning. Meaning they don't affirm the meaning. They just affirm the expression, the word. Meaning, other words, they say, as far as the word, they will say that, for example, Allah is يعني البصير. But the meaning of basir means that Allah actually sees. يعني the sifa of seeing. But the human beings see. So if you say that, if you affirm the meaning of actually seeing, that Allah sees, then the human being sees. That means you are comparing Allah to the human beings. You might say that's stupid. But obviously they're stupid, right? Millions of people, they believed in these ideas. And they went astray because of that. So they negated the meaning of the sifat of Allah. They negated the names of Allah from their meaning.
So they just said, Allah al-Basir, that's it, we don't know what the
meaning. Well, the different groups, they are different, right? The philosophers from them and the extremist Shiite and Sufis, they negated Allah's names and sifat. As far as the Jahmiyyah, they denied His names and sifat. The Mu'tazila, they affirmed His names and denied His sifat. The Ash'ariyah, they affirmed His names and some of His sifat, seven of them. So there are different levels, some of them worse than others. Some of them affirm something and deny something, some of them deny everything.
Actually, I want to understand how they deny it, because the verses in the Quran allow they just say they don't understand the meaning.
Yani they have different explanations, okay? There's tafweed, right? Some of them, the mufawwid, they say like that. They say only Allah knows the meaning. And they say that was the manhaj of the Salaf, the madhab of the Salaf. Because the Salaf said, only Allah knows the kayfiyah. So they claimed that means that only Allah knows the meaning. But kayfiyah and ma'ana is two different things. The Salaf, they affirmed the meaning. But they said how, the reality of the how of it is known only to Allah. But the meaning, we know what speaking means. We know what ascending means. We know what descending means in Arabic language. We affirm the expression, we affirm the meaning. But as for how Allah ascends, how He descends, it's not like the created beings. We don't know exactly the reality of it. Because it's not like the created beings ascending and descending, right? So this is what they did. They made tafweed. They said, يُفَوِّذُ الْعَمْرِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning, Allah, He's the only who knows what is the meaning. Okay, we say, yeah, Allah ascends and descends. But the meaning, we don't affirm. Because we don't know what that really means. Well, we do know what ascending and descending means. So this is their claim also. طيب, لِمَعْنَى الْحَقِّ The مُعَتِّلَ قَالُوا إِنَّ إِثْبَاتِ مَعْنَى لِلصِّفَاتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يُوجِبُ necessitates تَشْبِيه بين الخالق والمخلوقين لكن قولهم هذا باطل ما دامت الصفات ثابتة بالكتاب والسنة. يعني this saying of theirs or this view of theirs is false as long as these sifat which we are affirming, as long as they are sifat that are confirmed by the book and by the sunnah. If they are confirmed by the book and sunnah, then we confirm them. If they are not confirmed in the book and sunnah, then we don't confirm them. But as long as they are confirmed in the book and the sunnah, then their argument became false. Because, قال الله تعالى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ الآية يعني 11 من سورة الشورى 42nd surah 11th ayat, the saying of Allah, there is nothing like Him. And He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So this ayah is a proof against them, because this ayah requires us to negate any resemblance or likeness between Allah and the created beings, while requiring us also to affirm whatever Allah affirmed for Himself. So Allah affirmed for Himself that He is Sami'ul Basir, while at the same time negating His name or His description as being the all-hearing, the all-seeing, having any likeness or any comparison amongst the created beings. So we're going to stop here on this point for now, just for a second. This is in reference to ta'atil. Yani in linguistic meaning, it's tafriq. In technical meaning, it means nafi al-ma'na al-haq alladhi dalla alayhi al-kitabi was-sunnah. Any question about ta'atil? Okay, now we go to the end of this lesson. Salim says, نَحْنُ فِي نِعْمَةٍ كَبِيرَةٍ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي مَنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِالتَّوْهِيدِ وَأَطْلُبُ مِنْ مُدَرِّسِنَا الْآنَ أَنْ يُبَيِّنَ لَنَا كَيْفَ يَسْتَفِيدُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ هَذَا الدَّرْسِ. يعني Salim says that we are enjoying a great blessing, favor, bounty from Allah. يعني بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, many by the favor of Allah, who has favored us with Tawheed. Manna alayna. He has given us His favor by giving us a Tawheed. So now I want to request from our teacher that he make clear to us, how do the Muslims benefit from this lesson? Yani what is the benefit from what is contained in this lesson? Teacher says, عَرَفْتُمْ أَنْوَاعَ التَّوْهِيدِ. You have come to know the types of Tawheed. فَإِلَيْكُمْ الْآنَ فَضْلَهُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْمُوَاحِدِينَ الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا التَّوْهِيدَ عَقِيدَتَهُمْ. So now, here is the fadl, يعني the excellence or the virtue of التوحيد for the Muslims who يعني establish التوحيد, the muwahideen, those who have يعني singled out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawheed. Those who have made the tawheed their aqeedah. This is the fadl, يعني the virtue or the excellence that يعني they receive from establishing a tawheed. Number one, فَبِالتَّوْهِيدِ تُتِمُّ عِبَادَةَ اللَّهِ وحده لا شريك له ونبتعد عن الشرك. And it is through Tawheed that we are able to complete and perfect the worship of Allah alone without any partners, and that we are able to distance ourselves from a shirk. It is through Tawheed that we complete and perfect the worship of Allah alone and distance ourselves from Tawheed. I mean, this is a fadl azim. I mean, from ash-shirk. Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah khair. This is the first, yani, excellent or virtue that the Muslims receive from a Tawheed, that it enables you to worship Allah alone without any partner, and it makes you to be distanced from a shirk. Tawheed protects you from shirk. The second thing, وَبِالتَّوْهِيدِ تَكُونُ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ سَعِيدَةً مُحَقَّقَةً لِمَعْنَى الْإِخْلَاصِ. Yani, it is through Tawheed that the hearts, the life of the hearts, Hayatul Qulub, yani, that the hearts will have a happy life. The hearts will be able to realize, actualize the meaning of Al-Ikhlas. It is through Tawheed that the hearts, yani, have a happy life, and that the hearts are able to realize Al-Ikhlas. وبالتوحيد نفوز في الدنيا والآخرة برضا الله سبحانه وتعالى وذلك الفوز العظيم. And it is through Tawheed that we are successful in this world and in the next life in achieving or earning or obtaining the pleasure of Allah. And it is through Tawheed that we will be successful in earning or obtaining or achieving the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, this is the greatest success. Naam. Achieving or earning the pleasure of Allah. So these are three things from amongst many. Yani, the perfection of the worship of Allah alone and avoiding shirk. The life of the hearts, having a happy life, and realizing al-ikhlas, and having success or being successful in achieving the pleasure of Allah in this world and the pleasure of Allah in the next life. And indeed, this is the greatest success. Any question? Okay, let's read the lugha. Al-lugha in the middle of page 21, al-iman. Al-iman, its meaning is at-tasdiqu wa-taslimu وعدم المعارضة وأيضا معناه الإقرار. يعني الإيمان means التصديق, to affirm the truthfulness of whatever you have إيمان in, and التسليم, to accept fully, to accept fully, يعني what we're required to believe in. وعدم المعارضة, and there being no opposition. No opposition, mu'arada. Yani, not opposing, yani, what we're required to believe in. Yani, having iman in something means to believe in the truthfulness of it, to accept it completely, and not opposing it, not contradicting it in any way. So iman in Allah means to affirm the truthfulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, the Lord of the worlds, and the only one deserves to be worshipped, to accept this fully, and to have no opposition to it, or contradict it in any way. And also from the meaning of al-iman is al-iqrar, yani meaning to acknowledge or to agree to something, to acknowledge it. The second word, yunafi, it means yukhalifu or yu'aridu, wa aqsuhu yuwafiqu. Yani the meaning of yunafi means yukhalif, yani to contradict something, to be in contradiction to it. Or yu'arid, to oppose it, to be in opposition. Yunafi, to contradict or to oppose. And its opposite is yuwafiq, to be in agreement, to be in accordance with something, to agree with it. And we had this word yunafi, yani it came in the lesson that we must also yani negate whatever Allah negated from Himself, and whatever the Prophet ﷺ negated from Him, and whatever yunafi kamalahu, whatever negates or is in contradiction to the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that is in opposition or in contradiction to the perfection of Allah, we also negate that. The next expression, manna Allah alayna means tafaddala Allah alayna wa an'ama. Yani tafaddala Allah alayna, and He favored us. He gave us from His bounty freely, without us yani earning anything. Wa an'ama, yani to give us His ni'am, His bounties. Manna Allah alayna means that He favored us and He gave us His bounties freely. Yani without having earned them, without the people earning them. And the last word, nafuzu, means narbahu. Narbahu, yani ribh, means to gain some benefit or some profit. Narbahu, to gain some benefit or profit. Wa nahsulu ala ma nuridu, to attain that which we intend or what we desire. To attain or to achieve, yani ما نريد, what it is that we intended. كقولك فاز الطالب بالجائزة, yani the student won, or he was successful in attaining the prize. The student was successful in obtaining the prize. فَازَ الطَّالِبُ بِالْجَائِزَةِ. So the meaning of nafuzu, it means to win or to attain or to obtain yani that which you desired, to be successful in getting that which you desired, that which is of benefit. And after this are the exercises. The first exercise, which we won't do now, we'll write them out first for homework, is use the following words in beneficial sentence: yunafi, nafuzu, and al-iman. And then the munaqisha, there are 6 questions here that inshallah we should answer for homework. The first of them, question number 1, aqidatul muslimin at-tawheed, fama mana at-tawheed fil-lughati wa fil-shar'i. Yani the aqidah of the Muslims is at-tawheed. Yani this is the core, the essence of the aqidah of Islam. It's not the whole of the aqidah, but that's the foundation, right? So what is the meaning of at-tawheed? Linguistically and in the Sharia, yani in the mustalah. What is the meaning of Tawheed in the language and in the Shara? The second question, I don't know if anybody can make out this question. The second question. Does anybody know what the second question means? Who knows what it means? The second question. Read it to me and tell me what it means. Udhkur annahu at-tawheed al-thalatha. That's what that means? Mention that it is 3 tawheeds. Okay, so the question, obviously something wrong with it, right? Okay, so perhaps it means that there are 3 types of tawheed. Yes, explain them in brief. Yeah, mention the 3 types of tawheed. Udhkur. Yeah. So anyway, the question is something like this. Yani udhkur and. Anwa at-tawheed thalatha. Anwa at-tawheed thalathatun, without alif lam. Something like that. Mention. Udhkur anna anwa at-tawheed. The types of at-tawheed are 3. Thalathatun. Washraha, explain them bil ikhtisar, in brief. Okay? Or it could be dhukira. Anna anwa at-tawheed. Okay, اذكر انواع التوحيد الثلاثة. نعم. اذكر without N. اذكر انواع التوحيد الثلاثة. That one sounds good to me. Anyway, something like that, right? we get the core of it. اذكر الانواع التوحيد الثلاثة. الانواع التوحيد الثلاثة. نعم. واشرحها and explain them بالاختصار. نعم. اذكر الانواع التوحيد الثلاثة واشرحها بالاختصار. Third question, لماذا خلق الله الجن والانس؟ Why has Allah created the jinn and men? وما دليلك؟ And what is your proof for this? The fourth question, قال الله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. بين محل النفي ومحل الإثبات في هذه الآية مع بيان معناها. نعم. So mention the place of nafi, negation in this ayat, and also the place of affirmation in this ayat, along with clarification of its meaning, yani the meaning of the ayat, the general meaning of the ayat. Where's the negation? Where's the affirmation? What is the meaning of the ayat? And the fifth question, هل يكفي التوحيد الربوبية للدخول في الإسلام؟ And the fifth question is in the beginning of the lesson, it's not in the end. The questions are not in order. I'm just like alerting you to that. Because if you look for it on the end, you're not going to find it. You got to go back to the beginning. هل يكفي توحيد الربوبية للدخول في الإسلام؟ Is توحيد الربوبية sufficient for a person to enter into Islam? Meaning, will a person be considered a Muslim if they just acknowledge توحيد الربوبية؟ اذكر دليلا على ما تقول. Mention evidence for what you say. Yani whatever you say, bring a proof for it. It's sufficient, bring a proof. It's not sufficient, bring a proof. Question number six. ما الواجب علينا في تحقيق الإيمان بأسماء الله تعالى وصفاته؟ What is obligatory upon us concerning the realization or the actualization of Iman in the names of Allah and His characteristics? Names of Allah, the Most High, and His characteristics. What is obligatory upon us? Yani إثبات نفي. Yani without this and without that and so on and so on. Okay, any question about the questions? Any question about the questions? Okay, these are six questions for homework. Yani read the lesson and try to write the questions out, yani on paper, in your notebook or someplace. Okay, we still have a few minutes left for the class, or is the time up? Yunafi? Naam. Yunafi, in the linguistic meanings, it says yukhalif. Yunafi means yukhalif, yukhalifu, or yu'aridu. And its opposite is yuwafiqu. So what is the meaning of yunafi? Naam, you have a question or you want to answer the question? Musa, you have a question or you want to answer his question? I thought I saw your hand up. Huh? Okay, no problem. The meaning of yunafi, it means yukhalifu. And it means yu'aridu. And the opposite of it is yuwafiqu. So what is the meaning of yunafi? Yani yukhalifu means to oppose something, to contradict something. Yu'aridu means to be in opposition to something. So the meaning of yunafi, yani the meaning here as it came in the text of this lesson, yunafi kamalahu. Yani that which yukhalif kamalahu, or yu'arid kamalahu, that which is in contradiction or in opposition to the perfection of Allah. Anything that contradicts His perfection, we negate it. We negate it. Whatever contradicts His perfection, yani if affirming something for Allah contradicts, negates, nullifies His perfection, then we negate that thing. Because Allah is perfect. So anything that is in contradiction to that, in opposition to that, we don't accept it. That's the meaning here of yunafi in this text. But yunafi means to negate, to reject, to oppose, to contradict. Like this now. So if you want to stop here, we can stop. If you want to read a little bit, we can read. Or we can wait till next week and read and then answer the questions. Next week? Next week we read and answer the questions. Okay, so you have a chance to read this lesson. And we read it, I think, thoroughly last week and this week from beginning to end. And I would say focus, yani, on the places where the questions came. But then there are some areas where there's no questions about. Yani, there's no specific questions about some things. Like what is the meaning of ta'atil? What is the meaning of tahreef? Yani, we should know what the meaning of these things. Yani, there's rububiyya, uluhiyya, asma wa sifat. Yani, the types of tawheed, in that question, what are the types of tawheed? Explain them in brief, so we should know what is rububiyya linguistically and technically, what is uluhiyya, what is it derived from, asma wa sifat, what is it talking about, yani, what is required of us in reference to it. Their question came in detail for that, and so on. Anyway, this is a very important lesson. And oh yeah, by the way, alhamdulillah, I almost forgot. I copied this just to remind us. One of the best books written on this topic is Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla Fi Sifati Allahi Ta'ala Wa Asma'i Al-Husna, The Exemplary Principles Concerning the Beautiful Names and Attributes of Allah, yani, by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. This book details in English, it's Exemplary Principles Concerning the Beautiful Names and Attributes of Allah. In Arabic, if you want to find the book in Arabic, you can get it free, download it free from some of the websites. Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla. Al-Muthla. Fi Sifati Allahi Ta'ala Wa Asma'ihi Al-Husna. Yani, you put in Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla, it'll come up. Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla. Yani, the exemplary principles concerning the sifat of Allah and Asma'ihi al-Husna and his beautiful names. By Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. Found it? Anyway, this is a tremendous book.
What's the name of this word?
Yeah. Fi Sifatillahi Ta'ala. Okay, maybe, but it should be fi sifati Allah Ta'ala wa asma'i al-husna. In any case, this is the English translation over here, the Exemplary Principles. And this book, actually the Shaykh explains almost every important principle related to asma wa sifat. Separately, the principles related to asma'i Allah al-husna, principles related to sifati Allah al-ulya, and he explains them, give examples, proofs, evidences, yani the deviation in them, all of that is explained in detail. Yani, it's not a book that you just read through. Actually, it has to be studied, okay? But if you get a copy of it, and you just read it, yani, until you finish it, and then read it again, and read it again, until you comprehend it. Nah, you have to read it more than once. You can't read it one time. You have to read it more than once. Really, every time you read it, it's going to be more enjoyable. Because the more you understand it, the more you're going to get out of it. The first time you read it, maybe some of it is not that clear because a lot of complicated issues, real, yani, detailed principles. If you're not familiar with them, the first time reading it is difficult, for sure. But the second time reading it will be a little bit better. And the more you read it, the more you understand it. The more you understand it, the more you enjoy it. So the second time you read it, you're going to enjoy it more. And the third time you read it, you're going to enjoy it more. You're not going to get tired of reading it. That I can guarantee. Every time you read it, mashallah, you're going to get more benefit. Now, yeah, the Dar al-Salam definitely would have it. Okay, we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.